Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're wrapping up week two of OTAs in Green Bay. And I have breaking news this morning. I have from a reliable source, a very reliable source, that linebacker Clay Matthews and wide receiver James Jones are on a plane heading out of Wisconsin to Detroit this weekend. This morning. The reliable source is my parents. They're actually going on vacation. Texted me to tell me that Clay Matthews and James Jones were on the plane. The purpose of James Jones and Clay Matthews' flight, I don't know. I just assume they're getting out of town for the weekend. They're got plans, whatever. So, my parents, by the way, celebrating their 50th anniversary. Congratulations to them. They've been great role models to me. I can't say how happy I am for them to reach that milestone. So that's very cool going on in the Kirvu family. But we're here to talk some Packers football, right? Let's get to it. We're wrapping up week two of OTA. So what's happening in the offseason world of the Green Bay Packers? Kind of weird this season. Next week they have mini camp. It is kind of a breakup to OTAs. This hasn't happened, to my knowledge, under head coach Mike McCarthy, where mini camps have come in the middle of OTAs. So there's always, every year, 3 weeks of OTAs instead of three straight weeks. This year, it's broken up with mini camp after week two of OTAs. So next week, mandatory mini camp, meaning every player under contract is obligated to be there. Won't really be a whole lot different in Green Bay because everybody's there who's under contract, with the exception of Johnny Jolly, who has legal obligations to take care of first before he can be in Green Bay. But other than that, everybody under contract is there. Sam Shields isn't there, but he isn't under contract, so that's the deal with him. But Packers got to get Sam Shields under contract first before he is obligated to join the offseason program in Green Bay. Given my doubts, I would just say Sam Shields is happy to not sign his contract until training camp. I'm fairly confident Sam Shields will sign a contract before training camp. But I have my doubts whether he'll be doing it in the next 2 weeks before the Packers offseason program is over and he is obligated to attend. So I think he's probably happy in Florida or wherever he is this offseason, presumably his native Florida, before he inks a contract anytime soon. But hopefully that does get done before late July and training camp starts. But, you know, on today's show, I just wanted to talk about a couple players who have seemed to made headlines recently in the newspapers, things like that, from week two of OTAs. And there's an article today in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel written by reporter Tyler Dunn about defensive lineman B.J. Raji. Feature article about Raji, in which he addresses several questions. And one of them being that he has to finish plays this season. And I thought the article did a great job of kind of taking a broad look at Raji's career to an extent, you know, going back to that, you know, really good 2010 Super Bowl season for Raji, in which he had, like, I think he had 6 sacks that season, even more than that, 6.5 sacks, 6.5. And you know, kind of laying out that, you know, he was playing next to Cullen Jenkins at the time, and that was maybe a big reason for his success. But you know, since that time, going back to last year, you know, 1 year ago at this time, we had learned that BJ Raji was kind of doing this off-season boxing regimen and kind of working on his quickness, and saying how that really kind of helped, but that wasn't a problem for BJ Raji in 2012. His quickness, it was finishing plays. And if you go back and look at the statistics, kind of almost hard to believe. BJ Raji had exactly zero sacks last season. That's not what you want from a guy who plays on passing downs as much as BJ Raji. Not in the least. You know, a guy who is 300 and, you know, what do you think BJ Raji is? In the neighborhood of probably 350 some pounds. You know, those type of guys aren't going to have a lot of sacks. So, you know, I'm not being unrealistic here, but BJ Raji played on a lot of third downs last year, a lot of passing downs, lots and lots, hundreds of snaps. You would think even if it were to happen by accident, he would have gotten a sack last season. you know, just running into the quarterback on a play. Zero sacks. That has to improve. And again, I'm not saying here I expect 10 sacks out of BJ Raji. It just doesn't happen from 350-pound nose tackles. But for a guy who plays on as many passing downs as BJ Raji, that number has to improve. He's got to finish plays. He's got to shed those blockers and get to the quarterback, or at least put some pressure on the quarterback, flush the quarterback. Maybe flush him into another defender's arms. And, you know, the article goes on to lay out how this upcoming season he'll be playing next to Dayton Jones, the first-round draft choice. You know, maybe now, at this point, it'll be, there'll finally be a threat next to, you know, BJ Raji. So, you know, maybe they're at that point where he'll have somebody next to him to take off some pressure, maybe a little bit of attention away from BJ Raji from a blocking standpoint. He'll be double teamed less often. But yeah, big season for BJ Raji coming up here in 2013. You know, and that's nothing to say about his impending free agent status after the season. You know, the Packers really... BJ Raji is a big prior. Is he the number one priority? I don't know. You know, they got Sam Shields, who's a free agent technically right now. They've got safety Morgan Burnett, who you can make a case is a pretty important free agent. But BJ Raji still up there very high as well. A lot of people are a little bit sour on BJ Raji because he hasn't put together these big time, you know, statistics lately. But, you know, you got to look at it. Ryan Pickett is going to be a free agent after the 2013 season as well. And you know, so both Raji and Pickett contracts are up after 2013. They're the only two experienced guys on the Packers roster who are, you know, big dudes who are in excess of 330 pounds. The Packers can't afford to lose two of those guys in the offseason. And, you know, seeing as Ryan Pickett is, what, 34 years old now, I would rather see the Packers, if I had to choose, and Ryan Pickett up to this point has done fine for what he is. But, you know, if I had to choose the Packers, you know, parting ways with one of those two after the season, you know, all things being equal, I'd rather the Packers lose Ryan Pickett and keep BJ Raji. You know, the younger guy, the guy who's in the prime of his career, the guy who's still going to be productive for, hopefully, for another 5 years for you. John says they have Gilbert. Yeah, Gilbert's long gone now. fact, by the way, Jamie, how did the interview with Gilbert Brown go last night on Cheesehead Radio? I haven't had the chance to listen. Did it go well? Let us know on the live blog. So there's your BJ Raji situation summed up as a feature article on him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning. There's a couple other players who've seemed to have gotten a lot of attention this week. And another one would be also on the defensive side of the football. Desmond Bishop, inside linebacker Desmond Bishop. He's entering a situation here in which A, he's coming off injury, and B, there's a lot of depth at the inside linebacker situation. So it's kind of created this tenuous situation a little bit, which Bishop described as awkward, I remember, in another article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's weird because, I mean, first of all, Bishop has to prove he's healthy coming into 2013. He missed the entire 2012 season with a torn hamstring. That is not an easy thing to come back from. He has not taken part in any OTAs yet during this offseason, during the offseason training program. It's doubtful he will be taking part in either minicamp next week or the last week of OTAs 2 weeks down the road. What the time frame is for coming back for Desmond Bishop. You know, will he be ready by training camp? The Packers tend to be very cautious, when it comes to players coming back from injury, especially veteran players like that who have a little bit more wear and tear on them. You know, they might not always be ready for the very start of training camp. You know, they'll give them a week off, 2 weeks off, even 3 weeks off before coming back for the final few preseason games and getting ready for the stretch push of the season. Everything's positive coming out of Desmond Bishop's mouth, though. You know, there's no setbacks. He's feeling good. He expects to be ready for training camp, things like that. That's all fine and good, but we need to see it. We need to see it. So, we haven't seen it yet, but it's understandable. We're in May right now. In fact, last day of May, right? May 31st. There's no pushing, rushing right now. No reason to rush things. No reason for him to have to go out and push and then have a setback. This isn't the time of year for that. I mean, it's never the time of year to have a setback, but most definitely you don't want to have that happen with a guy like Desmond Bishop. But, on top of the injury situation, which we've detailed here now you have the numbers situation in which, the Packers, didn't I read somewhere the Packers have more money sunk into their linebackers than any team in the entire NFL? And I suppose it helps that you run a 3-4 defense and you just typically teams that run a 3-4 keep more linebackers on the roster than a team running a 4-3. But anyway, regardless, they're paying, they signed Brad Jones in the offseason, starter's money, the guy who filled in for Bishop last year and did a pretty good job. As John points out on the live blog here, they're paying three inside linebackers starting money. Yeah, so they're paying Bishop starters money. They're paying Brad Jones starters money. And then although A.J. Hawk took a contract reduction this offseason, he's still being paid in the realm of, what, $3 million this season? A.J. Hawk is still making a rather handsome amount of money. He's getting paid like a starter. So basically, they got three players being paid like starters for two spots. So yeah, what exactly the Packers do there, not exactly sure. I mean, first of all, like we said, Bishop has to come back and he's healthy. But I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, he's been the Packers' best inside linebacker. A.J. Hawk hasn't. You know, A.J. Hawk has shown, though, he can be a pretty good early, you know, rundown defender. You know, the type of guy who plays on first and second downs and can do a capable job. The Packers brought out the best in A.J. Hawk last year because they, for literally almost the first time in his career, it took the Packers 5 years to figure it out. But finally, last year, they started taking him off the field on third downs. And you know, A.J. Hawk thrived in that situation because he wasn't out there covering guys. You know, that's not his strength. That's not his forte. It would be covering guys. So, I mean, they did do that. So, you know, that could be a situation where, you know, A.J. Hawk comes off the field on third downs and maybe Desmond Bishop comes on or Brad Jones comes on. I don't know how things are going to shake out. You know, I can take some guesses. But, you know, I want to see how a guy like Desmond Bishop comes back first before I make any predictions. You know, I want to see what he's got. I want to see how much Brad Jones improves now in his second season at inside linebacker. You know, how much more comfortable is he now, and how much more ready will he be coming into this season as an inside linebacker? So, you know, and they got depth too. Ben, you know, we've talked about it before. Terrell Manning is there at inside linebacker. A guy who, an up-and-coming type of player, or at least you hope he is. The Packers got Jamari Lattimore. They got Rob Francois, who they re-signed in the offseason. In fact, there was one report that Rob Francois would be given an opportunity to start this year. Now, you know, I don't know how realistic that is that Rob Francois can become a starter. I could have swore Tom Silverstein in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had reported that the Packers would be giving Rob Francois every opportunity to win a starting job. I suppose they can say that to every player. You'll get an opportunity. Doesn't mean they're going to come away with it. But there you go. I mean, that's, you know, basically summing up all the attention Desmond Bishop has gotten this week, as week two of OTAs wrap up in Green Bay. A couple other guys getting attention, and I'm going to have it in this morning's Packers Daily Links later. I haven't written them yet. But if you go over to PackersNews.com, the online website of the Green Bay Press Gazette and their Packers coverage, there's an interview with tight end Matthew Mulligan. They're written by, I believe, Wes Hodquitz, reporter Wes Hodquitz over at PackersNews.com. To my knowledge, this is the first time anybody has talked to the new free agent acquisition at tight end this offseason since he signed with the Green Bay Packers. So that's kind of cool. I haven't even heard from this guy yet. So I was kind of glad to see somebody take the time to talk to him and publish that over at PackersNews.com. So go ahead and check that out today at some point. Like I said, I'll have in the Packers Daily Links later. I don't think there's a whole lot, certainly not as much controversial about Matthew Mulligan as you could perhaps speculate about a guy like Desmond Bishop or a guy like B.J. Raji, who we spent the beginning parts of this show talking about. But Matthew Mulligan, I know, addressed his forte of being a blocking tight end, specifically a run blocker. And that's why the Packers signed him. You know, they lose Tom Crabtree in the offseason free agency. He goes and signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, in doing so, the Packers lost their best blocking tight end from last year and replacing him with Matthew Mulligan, who was formerly with the St. Louis Rams, formerly with the New York Jets before that, and not a guy who's a big receiving target or hasn't been his entire NFL career up to this point. You know, Matthew Mulligan, a guy who's got like, what I think I saw somewhere, he's got like a dozen catches in his career for just over 100 yards and one touchdown, something like that. So, you know, John has a good question here on the live blog. Good question. Something I've been thinking about. If Finley has a breakout year, what happens? Yeah, that is a good question about what happens if Finley has a breakout career. What if, you know, and that wouldn't be a stretch, really, to say JerMichael Finley has had good seasons before. Just this past season in Green Bay, he had the most catches ever by a Packers tight end. And albeit compared to the rest of the NFL, those totals were rather modest. But, what if JerMichael Finley goes out and has a breakout year? What if he has a Pro Bowl year in Green Bay this year? What happens then? I am resigned to saying this is JerMichael Finley's last year in Green Bay, just because I don't think whatever happens to JerMichael Finley, good, bad, or simply mediocre, I can't see him in a Packers uniform next year with the money they have to dish out to guys like B.J. Raji, like Sam Shields, like Morgan Burnett, even James Jones. You know, there's several other guys coming up who are free agents as well. I believe John Kunitz is last year, and, you know, you can make the argument, too, that it could be John Kunitz's last year in Green Bay. But beside the point here, what will happen to JerMichael Finley? Rick Campbell says on the live blog, if Finley has a great year, he's going to be paid more somewhere else. I can see that most definitely. Yeah, I just think, you know, even if he has a poor year, he's going to get paid somewhere else. You know, he's still young and, you know, somebody out there will be willing to take a chance on JerMichael Finley. You know, how much exactly he gets paid might depend on how well of a year he has in 2013. But I still think, I just don't think the Packers are going to make a great attempt to re-sign him. They'll be happy to lose him and get that compensatory draft choice in return. You know, we're kind of talking compensation that's going to be delayed quite a bit. But still, I can still see that playing out and the Packers taking a new approach at the tight end position this year. Or, you know, not this year, but in the future, perhaps. A question here from John on the live blog. I can see the Packers keeping five pure running backs. Would there be room for John Kuhn? Wow. I assume you're saying John Kuhn would not be one of those five pure running backs. I have a hard time seeing the Packers doing that. I don't say it's out of the question, but man, keeping five pure running backs on the roster, I just, that would be a lot. And, you know, I don't think John Kuhn is going anywhere this year. I'm not saying anything for his future beyond 2013, but I think there's a spot for him on the Packers roster this year. You know, they still can utilize a running back. They can still utilize his pass blocking ability. They can still utilize John Kuhn on special teams. There are roles he can fill, And maybe he's a bit overpriced for what he does, but regardless, they have plenty of salary cap space. You know, they don't need to ask John Kuhn to take a contract reduction. You know, they can afford another year with him, but man, I have a hard time seeing five, you know, pure halfbacks on the roster this year. Well, you know, and again, not I'd wait to see until training camp plays out before I make that final determination. Yeah, as John points out here on the live blog, if Pease comes in and lights up training camp enough to where they can't let him go, I can see that happening. Yeah, I mean, perhaps. Again, it's one of those things where we got to let training camp play itself out first, see what these guys got. You know, I think perhaps another situation could be you could see the Packers keep certain, and I can see this easily, the Packers keeping four halfbacks on the roster and then one on the practice squad, you know, just in case, you know, an emergency situation or just to develop or whatever. That could certainly be. That would not be out of the question. But again, yeah, I mean, you got to wait till training camp comes around and you see if Angelo Pease can, you know, be that guy. You know, if he plays so well, the Packers can't cut him, can't afford to cut him. You know, there's always a guy or two on the roster who fits that category every year, who comes out and plays lights out and earns a job that way. Could be the case. Kevin Lamb on the live blog says pass protection will depend on who makes it at running back. You know, coming down to the last spot on the roster could very well be, you know, who's a good pass protector. And that's one thing John Kuhn is. That might be the very best thing John Kuhn has to offer. No doubt about it. Rick Campbell says, I just have a feeling that Kuhn and his $3 million contract is going to get cut. We don't need him for short yardage now, so if he stays in, so if he stays, it's because they run more with him as a blocker instead of using a tight end. You know, I see what you're saying there, that they don't need him as a short yardage back. No doubt about it. I don't think John Kuhn will be used as a short yardage back outside of maybe one or two times or, you know, this year, you know, a handful of times, unless, you know, injuries necessitate it for some reason. But I don't see him cutting them. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to keep John Kuhn, pardon me. They're going to keep him on the roster in 2013. You know, maybe a year from now he's gone. But I mean, I think he's going to be part of the team in 2013. I still think they need a fullback. You know, there's only one other fullback on the roster, and it's an undrafted rookie. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty there. Whereas there's a lot of experience with John Kuhn. Even though he isn't known as a hammer type of fullback, but I think they'll utilize him in 2013 at least this year. I'd be willing to go out on a limb on that one and make that prediction. But hey, folks, it's a Friday. Thanks for joining us here so much on a Friday morning here at Railbird Central. We'll be back again on Monday, so. We'll see you then, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. But, oops, there we go. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone, all right? I leave you today with a song called The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.
Thank you.